Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. Why don't you stand with us as we sing this great song of praise, God So Loved the World.
Forever believes in Him, will live forever.
song is a song of praise, Graves into Gardens. Let's sing this together this morning.
I search the world.
Seen that a cappella, and I know some of y'all think that's a little too high for me.
Listen, we're going to sing it to the Lord. Would you join with me? Oh, there's nothing. Come on, shout it out. Better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Father God, nothing is better than you. Those words are simple. And some might even say oversimplified, but the reality is their truth, and the truth can be simple. There is nothing better than you. You turn our mourning to dancing. You turn graves into gardens. You turn seas into highways for the Israelites, and you'll do that in our lives as well. So I pray that every person in this room can have a Red Sea experience, that every person in this room can have a deliverance experience, that every person in this room could see that you turn our graves into a garden. You make us new. Father, do that among us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will, friends. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you're participating online, would you take a moment to follow the instructions on the screen? We'd love to connect with you, and I'll send you a text later today if you do. If you're in the room and you are a guest, maybe it's your second time with us or third or maybe even fourth, or it's your first, we'd love to know that you're here. If you'll fill out the registration and place that in the offering box as you leave, or you can hand it to me. We'd love to send you a gift in the mail. We would also just like to thank you for being here, and so we're glad to have you. I want to give you a couple of prayer requests. First of all, our church of the week that we're praying for is Union Grove number one, which is Pastor Whit Hibbs. I want to pray for them, for God to move in power among them here in our community. And then our mission of the week, our missionary of the week is Shaquille Condecor. Shaquille and his wife, Angela, live in Detroit. And you will meet them in January. They'll be here for our missions conference. We're very excited to have them come and share with us. They are from Bangladesh, and they have moved here to share the gospel and reach people from Bangladesh who are 99% Muslim who live in the Detroit area. I'll tell you a little bit about their ministry, where they live. They live in what's called Hamtramck. Hamtramck is a 2-square-mile area. They're completely surrounded by Detroit. It's a city within the city. And in Hamtramck, just to give you an example, there are, I believe that the answer is 25. I know it's at least 21. Between 21 and 25 Islamic mosques in a 2-mile radius. You can look in any direction and see it. And here's what we would say for those that follow the ways of Islam. We want them to not just believe that Jesus was a good man. We want them to know he is the Savior. We want them to come to know him and to not be blinded by the God of this world. And so we pray for them. So Shaquille and his family are there, and they've started a church in Detroit, and they've also in Hamtramck, and they've started one just across the border in Windsor, Ontario as well. So pray for them. You're going to love meeting them when they come here later. Let's pray, and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, I take a second to pray for revival. Father, would you bring revival to my heart? Would you bring revival to my life in a way that I'll live differently? God, would you bring revival to me and that I can be empowered and convicted and led by your Holy Spirit? Would you bring revival in my life in a way that I would be one who would see people the way you see them? Lord, that I'll see those in our community who are not like me the way you see them. That I'll see those in the community who are just like me the way you see them. Father, that you'll help me to have revival in my life, and it will be affected in how I love and lead my family. Father, that you'll bring revival to my life, and it will help me to be a better pastor and a better minister of the gospel. And Father, I pray the same for every person in this room. Bring revival to each individual life. Father, our church will never experience revival if we don't, as individuals, experience revival. So God, would you do that in the hearts of each person here? Change the way they see others. Change the way we live. Change the way we walk and serve and follow you and are empowered by you. God, would you do that here at First Baptist Church? God, you have blessed us immensely for 140 years and these past 2 to 3 years in such a powerful and mighty way. And Lord, we don't want to go a moment without recognizing that and thanking you for it. But God, the end result is not just how many people can we pack in here on a Sunday. Father, we don't really care what our seating capacity here. We want to know what the sending capacity is here. God, that we can send others out, that we can go and be on mission for you in our community. It is really not about us gathering here, though we want to gather weekly and worship and disciple together and grow together and be in fellowship. But oh, Father, may the highlight of our week be when we leave this place and head out. May the highlight of our week be when we go and live the gospel message among our community. God, bring revival. Let it begin at First Baptist Church. Father, I pray that it would affect every church in our city. I pray that every church in our city would see revival, Father. The ones that are following hard after you, Father, that you would continue to grow that. Father, others that might be struggling and maybe a little more inward focused in ways, it happens. It can happen so easily, God, that they might see that there is a world around us in desperate need of the gospel. Father, we pray for Messiah Haitian Baptist Church. Last week, they had their 11th anniversary. Thank you so much for 11 years of ministry. We pray for many more. Father, we pray for La Primera down the road, for Rose Road Church of God, for Baltimore Avenue Church of God, for Grace Fellowship Presbyterian, Father, for First Methodist. Father, we pray for Solitude Baptist and Central Baptist. Father, we pray for Mount Calvary just around the corner. Father, I pray for Connect Church. I pray for Compassion City Church, for Life Point, for the fellowship as they have their 25-year anniversary. Father, we pray that this next 25 years of ministry would be incredible and bold for the gospel's sake. Father, we pray for all of our churches in our county and around. Lord, that you'll move in power. Lord, I pray the same for Union Grove as we're going to pray for them this week. Lord, we pray for Shaquille in Detroit, that many Muslims would come to know you, that they would have a desire to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to God. Father, help them to come to know you. Father, my prayer is that for the remainder of this hour, that we would not just go through the motions and stand and look at a screen and sing. Father, that we would not just open our Bible or our device to Psalm 19 and read it and happily leave here and head to lunch. But God, my prayer is that you would not stir us, but that you would change us. Lord, bring conviction where it is needed. Lord, bring encouragement where it is needed, and we all need your grace. Jesus, you are our living hope. Peter said it so eloquently. So God, we together sing to you the living hope. You have changed our lives. So now may we honor you this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let's stand together and sing about the living hope of Jesus. Will you be worshipful in this time? Let's give to him the glory and honor he's due.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. Desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the so great a mercy was
sing this hymn together. When peace,
when peace like a
the one.
and you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Father God, you are our living hope. Your son Jesus made a way that we could walk new and free in you. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we can have walked through the struggles of life, but know that you're our living hope. We thank you that we can walk through the joys of life and know that you are the ultimate hope. So, God, today, remind us through the scripture of who you are and what you're doing among us and how you reveal yourself to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friends, be seated. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 19. We finished last week our series, I think it was 17 or 18 weeks, through the minor prophets, major in the minors. Next week, we start a five-week series, the five Sundays of October, through the book of 1 John. We'll be looking at the five themes of 1 John. And so we invite you to read through 1 John. It's a short book before you get here next week, and we'll see what God has for us over the next number of weeks. But for today, Psalm 19. David wrote this song 3,000 years ago. Around 3,000 years ago, God showed David how God reveals himself to mankind. And so David wrote a song about three of the ways that God reveals himself. Let's read it together now. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. Let me read it for you. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. Now picture the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy, and its rising is from one end through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. Verse 5, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. It's rising from the ends of its heaven, and its circuit, to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then we go on, look down at verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Verse 12, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And the last verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So David shows us three different ways that God reveals himself in this psalm. First of all, God reveals himself through nature. Second, God reveals himself through the Bible. And then third, God reveals himself through our very hearts and soul. Now, there are many other ways that God reveals himself, but right here, we understand that all of us have experienced these three. So let's look again at verse 1 and walk through it together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And now the next five verses give us this beautiful picture of the sun preaching a message about God. Now, I'm not talking about the S-O-N, the S-U-N. The sun in the sky preaches a message for everyone to hear. Though you've never heard it speak, it gives a speech every day. Here's what the sun is saying. God is real. God is precise. God is consistent. God is powerful. God is a mystery. God is a sustainer. God is life. And on and on. Nature declares. The sun declares. Let's talk about the sun for a few moments. I've used these stats before, but they always blow me away. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. So you have the earth, and then you have the sun 93 million miles away. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Let me say it again, 186,000 miles per second. In the time it takes you to snap your finger, everybody snap for me one time. That was pretty good. Let's do it again. Come on. Let's do it again. Come on. Woo. How about if I do spoken rap for the rest of the sermon? How much money can we wage for the Maker's Playground if I do that? Come on. Let's hear some, okay, nobody's gonna do that. Okay, some of you would pay me to stop. Okay, as quick as you can snap, light has circumnavigated the globe 6 times. That's how fast 186,000 miles per second would be. If you could drive to the sun, I realize it's just foolish, but if you could get in your car and drive 65 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, with no rest stop, no pit stop, no gas stop, no stop at all, watch it now. I need y'all to focus. Help us, Lord, help us. See, now that's sad. You're in charge, Kale. I'm gonna wait on you guys. I'm gonna wait on you. Thank you. Oh, it would take you 163 years traveling 24 hours a day to get to the sun. That's a long time, I realize and understand. That's like going to Panama City, right? Or something like that. It's a long way. Here's the reality. You think about it. the rays that left the sun, they are a distance far enough and they're traveling that fast that it took them 8 minutes to get to Earth. So from 8 minutes to leave the sun to walk outside and feel it on your skin. That's amazing when you think about how far that's come, 93 million miles in 8 minutes for you to feel the warmth of it, for you to see what we see today and experience what we experience. Now, with all of that being said, I want you to understand what the scripture would tell us, that God created all of that in a single day. All of that now he sustains 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. He continues to sustain it. But now listen to this verse. You may have never caught this verse before in the scripture. It's easy to kind of just pass by it. But in Job 26, Job is speaking to one of his buddies who's giving him a hard time. And he starts talking about nature, about the moon, the water. Sun. He talks about the wind, things in nature. Listen to what he says, though. In Job 26, 14, he says, "Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways. And how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" What's it saying? All this beautiful, awesome nature, the sun itself, that's like a whisper of God declaring who he is. That's how powerful and awesome and mighty he is. And on top of that, you have this verse in Romans that Paul gives us that then describes to us why nature does what it does and why it is so magnificent. Don't miss this. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them," talking about mankind, "for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they, man, are without excuse." Now, what does that mean? Paul just said that nature itself, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything around us, so declares that God is real. There's no way someone can look at that and not believe in the God. He says that men are without excuse to believe in the existence of God. So someone who says they are an atheist, they are without excuse because nature has shown that God is real. And so then you have to stop and deduct what that means for the world, for the 7+ trillion people on the planet, and what that means for them. Well, you need to come to understand that with all the people on the planet, the 7 billion people, excuse me, not trillion, 7 billion people on the planet, that it means something very specific. Just because they've never heard of Jesus does not mean that they have an excuse. The scripture says even nature declares the glory and the reality of who God is. So when it comes to people around the world who don't know who Jesus is, they've never heard of him, they don't understand who he is, you would say, well, why in the world would God send them and separate them for all eternity? Here's what you need to know. We are not lost and going to hell because we've never heard of Jesus. We're lost and going to hell because of our sin. And there is no one righteous, no, not one on this world, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So the reason that we spend eternity with God, the reason that we get to live with him forever, the reason we are changed and made new is because Jesus came and paid for our sin. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you take that step by step, what you realize is this: we can sit around and worry about people who've never heard of Jesus and think, why are they without excuse? But the scripture says they're without excuse. So who is it that needs to go and share? It's us. You see, the understanding is this, and we've talked about it. There's no God-forsaken place on the planet. There are only church-forsaken places on the planet. So our responsibility is that the entire world could hear about Jesus. Our responsibility is that people who live somewhere who've never heard his name could hear it because they need him, and they're without excuse. Our responsibility is that the Muslim people who live in Hamtramck, Detroit, will hear the gospel and know that Jesus is not just a good man, but the Messiah, because they're without excuse and they need him. Our responsibility is that people who drive by this church building today who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel will hear one because they are without excuse and they need it. This is our calling. And so the heavens declare the glory of God. And so men are without excuse. So God reveals himself that way. But we must be sure to reveal Jesus and show them who he is. The next way that God reveals himself is through the Bible. God reveals himself through the scripture. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. So what is David doing? David is speaking from experience, but David is also speaking prophetically. Let me explain what I mean by that. When David talks about the law, the rules, the precepts, all these things, it tells the commandments of the Lord. He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's what he's referring to. That's what they had access to. That's what they were able to read from and find out about, the Torah. And so he is at this point himself writing what would be a song later included in the scripture. And then now we have all 66 books of the Bible and the whole New Testament, which gives us Jesus made clear and evident to us in his grace and new life in him. And so David speaks from experience about the five books that he knew, but he speaks prophetically about all 66 books that we now have. And so now we can say about all the Bible is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Bible is pure, enlightening the eyes. The rules of the Lord from the scripture are true and righteous altogether. So we have God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 is one of the first passages I memorized as a teenager. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, that verse is your life and mine. Look at it. All scripture, all the Bible, all 66 books is God-breathed. And it's useful to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us so that we could be equipped as servants of God. I've found that to be true in my life, and I know you have found it to be true in your life as well. If you've never been taught from God's word, I would encourage you, let us give you a Bible and help you. If you've never been rebuked from God's word, stick around. You just have to read a little longer and you'll see where God does a work and reminds us of who we are and the need for change. If you've never been corrected by the word of God, you've not read far enough. If you've never been trained by the Word of God, friends, I want to encourage you, you can do that. Dig into God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I wrote it down this way: as sure as the sun will rise, will shine, and will set today, we have the Word of God to speak truth and life to us today. God's Word. God reveals Himself through His Word. So I want to encourage you, don't miss a revelation from God. If you say, "Chris, I don't really know how to study God's Word." Well, it's one thing to read God's Word. It's another thing to study it. I would encourage you to read it every day and study it as often as you can on a regular basis. If you need some help with that, go to our website, albertvillefbc.church. And when you go to the website, under the Next Steps tab, you will see a whole list of resources to help you learn how to study God's Word for yourself. Call us. We will help you. We will sit down with you. We will have someone sit down with you. Every one of us want to go where we can study it for ourselves. When we come to worship and you hear a message from the Word of God, and you will never come here and not hear a message from God's Word on a Sunday, but when you hear a message from God's Word, somebody else has taken all the ingredients and prepared the meal and they're serving it to you. When you study on your own, you are preparing the meal and you are taking what God has given you and He is speaking to you. And we all need to be able to feed ourselves. So friends, I want to encourage you, dig into God's Word and know that it is truth. Now, the third way God reveals Himself, He does through nature. He also does through His Word. But we'll see in Psalm 19, verse 12, look at what it says. "Who can discern His errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What does that say? God reveals Himself through our hearts and through our souls. Now, before you say, "I don't know about the heart can be wicked," yes, but God uses it as an instrument. Romans chapter 2, listen to these verses. "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus." So friends, even our flawed conscience, even our wicked heart, God seeks to use those to reveal Himself to us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, He does reveal Himself to us. And so God will speak to us. He's been speaking to you. Now, whether we listen or not is up to us, but He reveals Himself. And then look at the last verse, what He says here together. The last few verses, excuse me. In verse 12, He says, "Please forgive me of my hidden faults." That would be sins that would be very benign, things that you might not even know you're doing, but later on you realize that wasn't right and you shouldn't have been doing it. It could be something in your mind that no one else knows about. It could be something simple. It could be a little white lie that you don't think anything about at the time, but later you realize you weren't being truthful. I'm just giving examples. But understand, when you see here the idea of the forgiveness from hidden faults, it's sins you did not realize were happening. But then in verse 13, look at what it says. "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin." What is a presumptuous sin? A presumptuous sin is a willful sin. It is something that we know to be sin. We know better than to do it, but we do it anyway. That's what presumptuous sin is. Have you ever done that? Probably so. Have you ever thought to yourself, "I know what I am thinking about saying is wrong," and then you say it anyway? Or, "I know I should not do this. I have conviction from the Spirit. I shouldn't do this," and we do it anyway. If you've ever been there, that's presumptuous sin. So very specifically, David says, "God, keep me from knowing to do the right thing and then just doing it anyway. God, help me to have the self-discipline. Help me to have your work in my life, that I would not be kept from those presumptuous sins." And so, friends, I want to encourage you and I want to encourage me to think about the presumptuous sin in my life, the things we know that we shouldn't do and we do anyway. I've been there. Listen, it can happen on a regular basis. Have you ever been like me, where sometimes you are convicted in a temptation and you know you shouldn't think something or say something, and you stop, you catch yourself, you don't say it. And then a day later or an hour later, the same conviction comes again, and this time you just let it all out and you sin anyway. Or something you know you shouldn't do in anger or whatever the case may be, and you say, I'm not going to do that, and you make the wise choice and you walk away. And an hour later, you do the same thing and you give in. David is saying, God, help us to be free of presumptuous sin. Help me with that. And then finally, if you could make a daily prayer and commitment here at the end of this song, we see a very specific request. And this next verse is the one I want to encourage you to memorize if you don't have it memorized yet. And if you could just pray this verse every day, make a commitment to this verse every day, it will change things. God's revealed himself in nature. He's revealed himself in his word. He's revealed himself to the power of the Spirit, even in our hearts and in our conscience, in our souls. And now look at what happens from that because of verse 14. Because of that, in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In other words, because of the revelation of God, may my mouth and my heart be pleasing to God. Now, here's the problem. You've read that verse, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The choir, the worship choir used to have the psalm they sang that was Psalm 19:14. Some of you are probably thinking that little tune in your mind right now. We know this verse, but we tend to think in the negative. We tend to think, so what that is saying is, God, help me not to gossip. God, help me not to speak in anger. God, help me not to curse or to cuss, say something that we shouldn't. And the reality is, those are all things that we need to work on and not do, but I want to encourage you to think through that process. If you boil down verse 14 and just don't do this, this, or this, that's really not growing in your faith very much. Some of us may struggle with cursing. I don't. That's just not something that tends to be a normal pattern of influence in my life. But I told a story this in the early service. I'll tell it to you guys too, about a pastor who went to lunch with the family. And as he went to lunch with that family at their home, they were all sitting around the table and they were passing the food around. And their little son spilled some food. And when he did, he said a cuss word. And of course, the parents were appalled that he did it in front of the pastor, and the pastor felt bad for the parents and all this, so he reaches over to that little boy and lightly taps him on the hand and says, son, you mustn't say bad words like that. When you do, it sends cold chills up and down this pastor's spine. And that little boy said, well, preacher, you should have been here yesterday when my dad hit his hand with the hammer. You'd have froze to death, is what he told me. Some of y'all get that, all right? Some of you, that you say, that's me, that's me. Well, if that's you, listen, here's what I would say to you. Work on that, okay? Watch what comes out of your mouth. And some of you, it's not that, it's gossip. If it's not that, it's anger. Watch what comes out of your mouth. However, let's look at the reverse side of what this verse is saying. It's not just, God, help me to keep a muzzle on this. It's not just, help me not to say things I shouldn't, but that's how we read it. But let's look at the opposite. He's saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In other words, let's make a commitment to speak something positive, to speak out loud praise to God. Let that be your prayer. God, help me to speak out loud the gospel to others. God, help me to speak out loud encouragement to other people. So instead of just trying to avoid the negative, let's make a renewed commitment that we will do the positive. There are people in your life who need encouragement, and something keeps us from always speaking that. Listen, I would encourage you, wake up every day and pray this scripture this week. God, help the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And God, let me go speak some encouragement to somebody. And then find someone to speak it to. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And then find someone, a place where you can speak the gospel. And if you can't speak it, a way you can type it on social media, some way you can declare with words the gospel. People have been watching your life. They see Jesus in you, maybe. I hope so. They see Jesus in you. Now they need to hear about Jesus from you. And then also, that we would just speak praise to the Lord. We've worshiped him together. You guys sounded great in worship today. It's been a beautiful time of singing praise songs to the Lord, but our praise can't just be what gathers in this room on Sundays. Oh, that we would praise him outside, that we would praise him at the restaurant, that we would praise him in our jobs, that we would praise him at school, that we would praise him other places. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So what will you do with today's message? What's the take home for you? What's the next step? Well, first of all, realize that God has been revealing himself to you through nature, through his word. He's been revealing himself even through the Holy Spirit as it speaks to your heart and your soul. What are you doing with that revelation? It was never meant to be kept just for yourself. Will you speak it? Speak words of praise, speak the gospel, speak encouragement. And then if you've been struggling with of all those ways that God reveals himself, let me be honest, the most important is the word of God. Now, nature reveals God, but God never intended that we would just be in nature and not be in his word. Your heart reveals God, but God never intended for you to trust your heart and follow it. In fact, he says it's wicked. So God wants us to follow his word. So if you've not been spending consistent time in God's word, let that be your commitment today. If you've not been studying God's word, let it be a renewed commitment to try to do that and to learn how to dig deeper. Let us help you if we can. And then make that commitment with your mouth of what David said at the end of his song, that last verse of his song. What a beautiful verse. Would you bow with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God, I pray that every person in this room, those participating online, those listening on the radio, would make a renewed commitment right now to let what comes out be a blessing to you. That we would speak praise about you. That we would share the truth about you with others. That we would speak encouragement to others. God, I pray that we would be changed by the revelation of your word. And then God, as we go about our day and then this week, as we spend time outside and we step out, it was a beautiful week last week. It's going to even be more glorious this week. As we step outside early in the morning and feel the crispness of the air and we think about fall that's coming, may we just be reminded of how gloriously grand and magnificent you are and your majesty in nature. And God, may we walk around in wonder this week because of what you've done and who you are. And then God, when we feel it in our conscience, in our heart, when the Holy Spirit convicts, may we not ignore that or make light of that, but may we instead lean in to the work of the Spirit in our heart and in our soul, and seek to live and follow up on what you're doing there. Thank you for speaking through Psalm 19 about how you reveal yourself. Lord, now may we respond to you as you see fit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.